Friday is not as significant to me as it used to be, since I'm sort of semi-retired. But anyway, the question that I have this morning to pose to everyone is, how holy are God's people? How holy are God's people? We're told in Revelation that nothing will enter that city that defileth. There will be no sin there. And so the question is, how holy are God's people? You know, good morning, Brother Leon Kennedy. How holy do you have to be accepted by God? They used to sing a song. It was very Arminian in doctrine. Come just as you are. But we can't even come if we're not born again by the Spirit of God. Welcome aboard, Joshua West. Good to see you this morning. But we have this idea that we've been given down through life, that if we're just holy enough, if we're just holy enough, we might get into heaven, right? Well, Scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that holiness or our perfection has anything to do with us gaining everlasting life. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Welcome aboard, Oscar Grace. It sounds like that God was the one doing the reconciling there, doesn't it? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. So that means that our personal holiness has nothing to do with our salvation, according to this. Because we were still dead in our trespasses and sins when Christ granted us new life. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How do we reconcile ourselves to God? By our own holiness, by our own perfection, by our own living holy lives? Well, he hath made him to be sin for us. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. How did he become sin for us? He took our sins upon himself. He was perfect, holy, righteous, without any imperfection. That's why he was the perfect sacrifice. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, that is called imputed righteousness. It's just a fancy word for meaning that he was our sin bearer, and that when he bore our sins on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary, God the Father now looks at us as perfect as his Son, because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ we have imputed righteousness. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Well, we cannot trust in anything in the creature. We have to trust in the merits of God's dear Son. There are many people that are trusting in the works, their own works. And if Christ did not take on all of our sins, our past, our present, and our future sins, if he did not take on all of our sins, then we will never see the gates of glory, because there is nothing that's going to enter the gates of glory that defiles. And James tells us that if we sin in one point, we're guilty of all. If we sin in one point, if there's one sin that Christ did not die for you and for me, then we will never be in glory. He took all of our sins, not part of our sins. Yes, when we sin, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's Scripture. But also it says that he died for our sins according to the Scripture. He rose again according to Scripture. He's coming again according to the Scripture. Why did he shed his precious blood on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary? Was it for just some of our sins, and then we have to work the other ones out? Behold the man, that's what they said. While my Savior suffered and bled, indescribable anguish and pain, bearing my sins so eternal life I would gain. Bleeding from his head, his hands, his feet, his side, knowing not that for his people, knowing that for his people, he would suffer and would die. But still in all this agony and pain too, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What marvelous love was shown to us while he was on the tree, taking all our sins, suffering in such misery. Welcome aboard, Troy Scarborough. I'm running a little bit late this morning. Giving us salvation, purchasing our liberty. O sacred head, now wounded with the crown of thorns, the mockery and ridicule, he heard all their scorns. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Like my Savior laid his head on his shoulder, saying, it is finished, and then died. To save this wretched sinner, to purchase in my stead, to suffer the wrath of his Father when I deserved it instead. Thank you, Lord, for taking all this grief and pain and giving me salvation. All glory to the Lamb. So the question is this morning, how holy must you be to enter into the gates of glory? You have to be without one sin. You cannot have, in other words, the Scripture says that he will not impute our sins to us. Yes, Troy. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for all of his people. That's our only hope. Let it be understood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserved the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel and rugged tree and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to me show. When I deserve to be cast into hell there to forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. You know, they call the Pope Holy Father. You know, I have a question for all of the Roman Catholics out there. Welcome aboard, Evangelist Elijah. I see you're watching from Uganda, Africa. You know, they call the Pope Holy Father. He's not holy. He has no righteousness at all. In fact, I've been seeing on the news he's kind of sick. I don't know if he's suffering with the coronavirus, but you'd think if he was holy and he was the vicar of Christ, he would be able to heal himself. Wouldn't you think so? If he has all this power, the power to forgive sins and absolve people from their sins, why doesn't he heal himself? Because he's a creature. He's not Holy Father. The Bible says, call no man father on the earth. Pope Francis, priests, pastors, bishops, evangelists, teachers, missionaries, none of those people can make anyone holy. Holiness only comes through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's not the Pope. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, so if you're trying to work your way to salvation by doing all these good works, there's nothing wrong with good works. Be not weary in well-doing, we're told. But if you're trusting in your good works, if you're trusting in your own personal holiness, you're on a different track than the gospel track. The gospel track is very clear. Jesus Christ is our only hope of eternal life. And his perfect gift was just that. It was a gift. It was not something we could merit or purchase. He's the one who purchased our salvation through his death on the cross. So the answer to the question this morning is, how holy do you have to get to heaven? How holy are God's people? Sin in the eyes of the Father, because they have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad for the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that all of God's people were predestinated unto adoption. I'm glad that we were chosen before we were even born, before we even, you know, he said as it relates to Jacob and Esau, before they were born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Election preceded our birth. Yes, we all were born and conceived in sin, but for God's people, we were elected before we were even born, to be a recipient of his grace, to be predestinated into adoption. What a marvelous thought. So that's what's kind of on my mind this morning, is the perfect atonement of Jesus Christ for his people. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. There's no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him We sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I was an alien and death reigned within, sitting in darkness, walking in sin. Then Christ eternal, he did bestow. Jesus then washed me whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, that beautiful snow. Wonderful story, can it be so? Tell me again as onward I go. Jesus has washed me whiter than snow. May the good Lord be with you today, and may He give you the assurance, you and I, the assurance of His completed work on the cross for us personally, and that we are made whole by the blood of the Lamb. God bless.